Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
The text for the sermon this morning is the gospel lesson, especially the words of Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is the text. You may be seated. So we've got a situation with the disciples going on there where most are leaving. And what does Jesus do? Does he calm down the preaching? Does he make it easier? No. He seems to ramp it up. If you had trouble with hearing that the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh, then what are you going to make of this? My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And it just keeps getting more and more difficult. And I need to provide an illustration for this part of the sermon. I absolutely have to do this because, again, certain things make sense better when they are shown and illustrated. So here's what we're doing. I'm going to pass this end of this rope to Mary, and Mary, pass it on back and keep passing it on back all the way till it gets to the back pew. What? This is a kind of odd thing to do in church. It's intrusive, it's different. Some are having to duck and kind of get out of the way just a little bit so they won't get the rope in their foreheads. And now, this goes back to that illustration on the whiteboard. The one thing that connects between this world and the eternal things is what? The Word of God. The Word of God. And do you hear that in the words that Peter says? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And so, the next thing to do with this rope is to connect it here with the lectern where you hear the Word of God spoken from this place. Okay? These are words of eternal life that you hear spoken here. And you don't want to get disconnected with this in any way, shape, or form. Because to get disconnected with the Word of God, well, that's death. But what does the Word of God always point us to? The cross. And the Word of God not only connects us with the simple words of the cross, also connects us with what we've been calling the wet word, baptism, the Word of God there in our baptism, and finally up to the altar, where I've run out of enough rope to completely reach there. The Word of God connects you to God. Without the Word of God, there is no eternal life. There is no salvation. There is no forgiveness of sins. There is no Heavenly Father. There is no Savior. Without the Word of God, there is nothing. You need that Word of God. You cannot get by without that Word of God. And especially that's true in this world of confusion, of strange ideas, of people in the ancient world, in the Old Testament times, chasing after every imaginable thing and believing that their gods were forces of nature and they were to bow down to them and they were to do certain things so that those forces of nature gods would act in their lives. And the prophet's saying, you don't get it, do you? You don't understand what the simple word God means. He's the one who created it all. He's not a force of nature. He's the creator of nature. Frankly, they weren't that different from people in our day. Have you heard of pyramid power? Or the circle of life, or the earth being hurt and crying out from our actions. All of these things are force of nature religion things. And we as Christians, we are told, no, that is not what God means. What God means is He is the one who created all these things, and He created it with His word. He spoke, He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let the earth bring forth, and the earth brought forth. And it continues on with His word. You go to the New Testament times. The people in the Old Testament days got things wrong in one way. The people in the New Testament times got it wrong in another way. So those who saw the feeding of the 5,000, well, what they were interested in is seeing more miracles, more of these things that happen with the forces of nature. And if they'd known that Jesus was walking on the water, why, that would have been another miracle of the natural world and the things of the natural world. And they would have chased after Him double speed. And when they do that, what does Jesus do? He says, not those things, not the stuff of nature, not those miracles of the wind or miracles of earthquakes or miracles of fire, none of those. Instead, what you need is the Word of God. It's no coincidence that it's the same Gospel of John, where at the beginning of the Gospel of John, John introduces Jesus by saying He is the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And it's almost like God spoke His Son into the world. Almost. He spoke and His Son came with a message of salvation, a message of forgiveness, a message of life. A message that brought the Word of God that would connect us to God. Without that Word of God, again, nothing. Nothing of life, only death. With that Word of God, everything is transformed. Everything is different. Now, here's some words of life, words of God. Here's one from the cross. It is finished. And as Jesus spoke those words, all of the penalty of sin, for sin, all of the wrath of God was done and drained and finished. Here's another one. Lazarus, come forth. And when that word is spoken, doesn't matter that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Doesn't matter that he's wrapped in the grave clothes and laid in the tomb. The Word of God has intruded on his life. And something is going to happen. And Lazarus comes forth. Here's the other reason why doing this is because this is kind of intrusive, isn't it? It gets in the way. You got to notice it, don't you? This rope strung across the pews. If some on the inside want to go that way, you have to lift the rope and duck underneath, and so on. It's intrusive. So it is with the Word of God in our lives. It is intrusive. It gets in the way. How? Well, if you're wandering off from God, the Word of God may step right in front of you and say, no, don't go that way, turn back. Turn back, old man. Why would you die? If you're at a place of confusion and wondering what God has in mind, that Word of God comes to you and speaks the message of God, the words of life, and very often, we'll simply straighten it all out simply with a Word of God. If you are experiencing blessings, that word of God comes and says, now remember where your blessings came from. You're not the one that made those blessings for yourself. Recognize that God has given them to you, and praise and thank Him, and return to Him your worship. And now, if you go through your life with the Word of God having intruded in your life, that Word of God in your heart, in your soul, on your lips, day by day, hour by hour, that is going to do something in your life that people will notice, and not everybody will appreciate. Christians live lives of devotion that the rest of the world does not understand. We have a hope that the rest of the world does not share. We speak of a Savior that the rest of the world doesn't know that they need as much as we do. We speak of forgiveness of sins, and the whole world says, what is this thing called sin? We talk about heaven, and the rest of the world says, so what's in it for me right now? And Christians go through life in that way. And if your life is marked by the Word of God, believe me, it will intrude into things, and it will not always be comfortable. Just like in the gospel lesson. What were the people of that day to do? Stay with the Word of God? Or say, oh, now this is getting a little bit uncomfortable. I think we'll go find somebody else to follow. It's what most of the crowd did. It's what most of the crowd is doing in our day. And Jesus turns to his disciples and says, are you going to leave too? Says this to the 12. That's where the words of Peter are so beautiful. They are so inspired because he has understood what it means to have that Word of God. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. He's got it. He understands that in those words of Jesus, he is connected with God. God is connected with him. God has given himself to him in Jesus Christ. And so God comes to us in the word of the cross, where Jesus tells us that our sins are forgiven. In the words of baptism, where Jesus marks us as his own and speaks the name of God over us. In the words from the altar, and when Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body. Why? That is his body, given for our forgiveness. And the Word of God connects us. Not always in a comfortable way, not always in ways that are easy to understand or believe, not always in ways that are easy to follow, but it is the Word of God, and it is the one place where we have life. And so, last part of the sermon, I'd like to ask the third graders come forward, together with your parents, grandparents, sponsors, whoever,